I was speaking with somebody who had dealt with the situation a few years back, and she was very confused and upset and angered by the fact that she was not allowed to see her loved one on the scene. Is that a standard procedure?
Depending on the scene, yes, it is. Certainly, I know people sometimes feel they want to see their loved one, but that's kind of, sometimes it's a judgment call, and we know what the person looks like in the current condition. The loved one has an image in their head of what the person looks like, but we know it's not the same. So it could be not even just for protecting the investigation. It could also be for the health of that person that wants to see them. If for example, there's some trauma to the face or something like that, even though you think you may want to see your loved one, we may make a judgment call that that's not the best for anyone.
Yeah, it's really what it comes down to. I mean, we're not mental health care professionals ourselves, but, you know, when it comes down to the fact of just dealing with these issues for so many years, it's one thing to have a loved one passed away of natural causes, and making sure that family has allowed the opportunity to, you know, surround the bed or wherever the incident may occurred and, you know, say goodbyes before we really do anything more aggressive or, you know, have the deceased removed from the home. Is that when you're dealing with suicide, and I think Police Chief Reimer is that, you know, it's difficult. There's many different ways, and none of them are necessarily the most pleasant for you to have in your memory. There's so many things that happened after the event that you're already going through that, you know, sometimes I feel that it's just best to kind of remember the positive things and the good things, and not necessarily compound images on top of something that none of us will really ever have an answer for of, you know, what occurred.
All right. Thank you guys for coming out here. Is there any final thoughts either of you have on the topic in any capacity of anything we talked about, anything we didn't talk about?
No, I just think it's a wonderful opportunity. I appreciate you, you know, taking the time to interview with us today and kind of giving another side of the story. Like I said, it's something that's real to the public safety that, you know, many of those that work in law enforcement and the fire service right now do have that military background. And as we stated, you know, with post-traumatic stress disorder, it's something that's accumulation through the work and stuff. And it's just kind of nice to allow us the opportunity to let the listeners out there realize that it is something very real and an opportunity to share of how we're actually treating it and dealing with it.
And for me, I would like the listeners just to know that if anyone is either feeling suicidal, to go out there and get help, or if you think that someone is suicidal, that you don't be afraid to go out and reach out to that person. I've got training. A lot of our officers do have training in QPR. It's question, persuade, and refer. And you can, you know, the best thing to do, believe it or not, is just ask the person, hey, are you suicidal? Do you want to hurt yourself? You're not going to create them all of a sudden to be put in a situation where now they're going to commit suicide. It's okay to ask. It's actually, you know, advised to just go ahead and ask them flat out, and then to persuade them to get help. And then if you can persuade them, to give them the references where, you know, refer them to whatever, you know, you've looked into is the best reference for that person. So please go ahead. And if you do nothing, you know, that's probably, you're going to have to live with that the rest of your life too.
You had me, got me in on another thought. When someone calls 911 and says, I'm thinking about hurting myself, what is the standard procedure for that?
We will have a police response at that point. Our dispatcher is going to ask you, well, how are you thinking about it? Because the number one thing that we're concerned about is weapons. So people, like we kind of mentioned before, I alluded to, there's several different ways to commit suicide, but several of them include weapons, and we want to make sure that the safety of our officers and first responders responding, that we are aware of what's going on there. At that point, we will actually send an officer, and depending on what you say about weapons, we'll take a different approach to it. But at that point, we'll question the person and see if they want to voluntarily get help. And we will do the question, persuade, refer that I just talked about. So basically we'll say, you've already expressed that you want to hurt yourself or you're feeling down or whatever the case is. Can we persuade you to get some help? Oh, yes, I would voluntarily like to go. And we will go ahead and put them, you know, get the wheels moving to the right direction for them to get that help.
Actually, just through talking through this, it actually sparked something through my mind, too, is that I have to apologize. Part of our public safety family that we really didn't discuss much about is our 911 operators. And I think Chief Reimer shared a story with me not too long ago about how difficult it is just, and I know as well, taking that phone call, never really knowing what the outcome is or what the follow-up is. So he actually shared with me when he was patrol that he would actually make sure those follow-ups are made with the dispatchers on the other end of that emergency line. When you say, what are the procedures, is sometimes I think we forget about those that sit on the other side of the phone gathering that information and sending fire and police out to these incidents.
Yeah, and then they you can only imagine what it's like. You dispatch, and then you go to the next issue, and you're always wondering, well, whatever happened on that call. So we do, you know, whenever we can, try to like to try and get a hold of those telecommunicators and let them know, hey, this is what ended up happening, this is what we saw, and they're always so appreciative of that. Now, does it happen every time? Certainly, we've missed it, I'm sure. But being on that side of the phone could develop PTSD in and of itself, because, again, we're in our professions. Public safety, you're constantly dealing with people in traumatic situations. And the number one thing is you also have to be able to take care of yourself in order to help other people. And I always kind of give the example of when you're in an airplane and if you've got kids, they always say, put your oxygen mask on yourself before you put it on your kids. But you're always wanting to put it on your kids first. So in order to help other people, we want to make sure that we help our own people.
Yeah.
One last thought. Is it the same basic procedure if someone calls and said, I believe someone is in danger of hurting themselves?
Yes, it is the same basic procedure. At that time, we don't have, you know, we're going to have to question it because we don't really have an answer to it at all. And there are times several times, calls where we respond where someone makes a Facebook message or sends a text and they're looking for attention. And they will actually tell us that, yeah, you know, I really didn't want to kill myself. I was just upset because I went through a breakup with my girlfriend or boyfriend, and I wanted to get their attention. And okay, well that's fine. We'll leave. So I don't want people to think that just because they call us there, that person's going to end up getting, you know, a mental health detention or anything like that. Because we do have the ability, if the person's not willing to seek help for themselves, to call the Department of Human Services and work with our hospitals to actually have a mental health detention and actually have that person go be forcibly put into a mental health institution to get that help, because they're either a danger to themselves or a danger to others. That's a last resort, of course. But again, to answer your question, as far as if someone calls for someone else, we'll handle it similarly, but I don't want people to be afraid to call people thinking, hey, even if they're not suicidal, we're going to make them do something. That's not the case. We're going to use common sense, get to the bottom of it. And if it's just a comment that they made and they didn't mean it, we'll figure that out, and then we'll handle it appropriately.
All right. Thank you guys for stopping out again. I greatly appreciate it. You guys have yourself a great day, and we'll see you next time you're in here.
Thank you.
Thanks.